Tonight, let's start with our time of Bible study and looking to the book of Romans, chapter 12. Romans, chapter 12. And we've been walking through this chapter together, looking at some of the practical exhortations that Paul has for us as believers in Christ. And he's continuing to build on the foundation of the gospel of grace and mercy through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why he says at the beginning of the chapter, therefore, in view of God's mercy, I exhort you. Here are these things that he's going to exhort them now based on what Christ has done for us and the salvation blessings that we have in him. And so now this is how we live out the gospel in our everyday lives. And these are just very practical, down to earth, easy to understand, harder to put into practice type of principles that Paul is teaching us. And tonight, I want to look at two verses with you, Romans 12, verses 15 and 16. And I've entitled this, Be of the Same Mind. And I'll share with you a little bit why I titled that here in just a moment. But be of the same mind. I'm going to read the two verses, and then I'm going to point out a phrase in the middle of those two verses that I think is the theme or the hinge of both verses on either side. And so let's look at the two verses together. Romans 12, 15 and 16. It says, rejoice with those who rejoice, and mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. If you look at the very beginning of verse 16, there is a phrase there. The NIV translates it as live in harmony with one another. And most of the translations I looked at, most of the more modern translations like the New American Standard Bible, the English Standard Version, many of the more recent translations translate it pretty much the same way. The idea of living in peace or in harmony with one another. I looked at another recent translation, though, and I found it very interesting the way that it translated it. It is the Common English Bible, so fairly recent translation. And the very first phrase here in verse 16 that the NIV and many other translations have, live in harmony with one another, it translates it as consider everyone as equal. Consider everyone as equal. In other words, an equality of status or position. And if you look at the rest of verse 16, that does make sense. It fits very well the context of verse 16. Don't be proud, but be willing to associate people of low position. Don't be conceited. And so you can see where the idea of equality of status would be in line with what verse 16 is talking about. And so I was curious why, by the way, that's one reason why I think it's helpful at times to look at different translations, because whenever you see a couple of translations handle something differently, that's a really good place to zone in on what's going on here. Obviously, there's something a little bit tougher to translate. Otherwise, pretty much all the translations would be on the same page. So there's something here a little bit tougher to translate that we need to wrestle with. And so I looked at that phrase a little bit more closely. And the original Greek is, and you can see this reflected in the older translations like the King James and the New King James, they translate it very, very literally, kind of word for word, woodenly, and they translate it something like, be of the same mind with one another. Be of the same mind with one another. And that's literally what the Greek is saying there. It is, if I could, you know, give a very rough translation, it is essentially the same into one another think. That's really kind of how you would translate it very roughly. So think the same toward one another or with one another. Be of the same mind. And then I started looking at what's on either side of that phrase. And I thought, the more I looked at it, that phrase, be of the same mind, think the same with one another, is really the hinge that on which verse 15 and verse 16 swing. So if you think about verse 15 as one side of it, verse 16 as the other side of it, we have in the middle the hinge, be of the same mind, think the same way. So with that idea, let's look at the two verses. So be of the same mind, think the same way with one another. And the first way that we're supposed to think the same with one another is in verse 15 in the idea of emotions. And so the first point that I'm drawing out of verse 15 is be of the same mind or the same way of thinking by sharing in the emotions of one another. So the hinge, be of the same mind, looking back to verse 15, is be of the same mind in emotion. Think along with them in terms of the emotions that they're going through. So verse 15 says, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep, or mourn with those who mourn. So essentially what verse 15 is saying is you've got the highs and the lows, and probably by extension everything in between, of the full range of human emotion. And so someone experiences some great joy, some great excitement, they get a promotion at work, or you know, someone, they see a loved one that they haven't seen in years. You know, something good happens to them and they're sharing that with you. And what the Bible is encouraging us to do is to share in that emotion with them. To join in together with them and be excited and joyful with them. To kind of sympathize, which, to break that word down, sympathy, pathos or passion, emotion, sim means with, so together with. So to sympathize with someone, you're wanting to share in their passion or in their emotion. And so that's essentially what this is calling us to do. So rejoice with those who are rejoicing, the highs of life, but then come alongside of and sorrow with and mourn with and cry with those who are going through the depths of life. And everything in between. So share in their joys with them and share in their sorrows with them. In order for us to do that, what Paul is asking us to do is to, in essence, put ourselves in their shoes, to walk in their steps and try to, as much as we can, experience their joy with them and experience their sorrow with them. In the same way of thinking. In order to do that, we have to love one another. So we go back to verse 9, which is really the foundation of all these exhortations. Romans 12, 9, let love be without hypocrisy. So have a full, open, honest love toward one another. And if we do that, then we will want to share in these emotions with the people that we care about. And let me share with you just a couple of things that could get in the way of this. And there are probably others, but let me just share a couple. Envy will keep you from rejoicing with those who rejoice. You know what I mean by that? So if you see another person and you see them get a blessing, you see something good happen to them, but you are envious of that person when that good thing happens to them, you're not going to be rejoicing with them in their time of rejoicing. Instead, you're going to be wishing selfishly and pridefully that that good thing had happened to you. And you're going to be jealous and envious of them instead of sharing with them in their joy. Flip side of that is if you have ill will toward another person, you have anger or bitterness or hatred built up in your heart toward another person, when a bad thing happens to them, you're not going to come alongside of and mourn with them. You're going to be tempted to say, well, they're just getting what's due them. Right? So you can't do this out of a heart of envy or out of a heart of bitterness or hatred. It has to come out of a heart of love for the other person, that genuinely wants their best interest. And so in their time of joy, of rejoicing, you want to share in that, and you want to rejoice with them. In their time of sorrow, you want to come alongside of them and be a friend to them in their time of sorrow and seek to lift them up. Let me just share with you a couple of parallel passages that reinforce this idea. Job 30, verse 25. And again, this is in the context of Job really talking about himself, and his friends are saying, Job, you need to confess and repent and get right with God. And Job, in the midst of this speech, is essentially defending his own integrity. And he's saying, have I not wept for those in trouble? Has not my soul grieved for the poor? So in other words, as Job is seeking to defend his own integrity, he is in essence echoing what Paul's calling us to in Romans 12, to think on those who are in a low state and mourn with them. 1 Corinthians 12:26 is in the context of the body of Christ. And it says, if one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. And so that's Paul there is talking about the body and how, as the Christian church, we are a body. And much like a physical body, where a part of your body is hurting, the whole rest of the body rushes to the help and the aid of that part of your body. So also the church. If one part is hurting, then the whole church is hurting. If one part is doing well, then the whole church is excited and rejoicing with that one part. Hebrews 13, verse 3. Continue to remember those in prison, and notice the language, as if you were together with them in prison, and those who are mistreated as if you yourselves were suffering. And what this is calling them to do is to think about believers, Christians in other places who are going through persecution for the cause of Christ. And this is not just a hypothetical verse for us. Because right now, today, I mentioned this before in our times together, right now, today, there are people in Iraq who are being told to convert or die or leave the country. There are people in Sudan, in Turkey, in China, in all over the place where their lives, their very lives are being threatened because of their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this is a very real verse for us. We have brothers and sisters in the Lord who are in prison today because of their faith. We have brothers and sisters in the Lord who are suffering and being mistreated because of their faith. And the writer of Hebrews is telling us to feel that with them as we pray with them. Put ourselves together of the same mind and the same lot. Psalm 35, verse 27. Turn from evil. That's not the right verse. Oh, well, I have it here. Psalm 35, verse 27. May those who delight in my vindication shout for joy and gladness. May they always say, the Lord be exalted, who delights in the well-being of his servant. And so, shout for joy. Join together with those who are in hurting. Join together with those who are also experiencing joy. And so, the one side of the hinge is be of the same mind and share in their emotions. Rejoicing, mourning and suffering. Now look at the other side of the hinge. Second part. Second part is be of the same mind or the same way of thinking by sharing the status or the position of one another. And so verse 16 says, live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. And I'm going to put up on the screen the Common English Bible that I was referring to earlier. Verse 16, it says, consider everyone as equal. Don't think that you're better than anyone else. Instead, associate with people who have no status. Don't think that you're so smart. Puts it in layman's terms, doesn't it? So consider yourselves as equal. Don't think of yourselves higher than everyone else, but associate with people who have no status. And so there are times in our lives when we are tempted to think that we are better than other people, either because of our intelligence or our moral character, or our work ethic, or how much money or possessions we've obtained, where we were born. Any of these things can become status symbols. And they can cause us to look down on other people who don't have the things that we have, or don't live life the way that we live it. And so Paul is encouraging us here, the hinge, again, be of the same mind with people of all statuses, I think is what he's saying. Whether they're of high position or low position, whether they're of high wealth or low wealth, whatever their culture, their background, whoever they are, don't think of yourselves as better than they, but put yourself on a similar plane of equality, position. Let me just share with you a couple of parallel passages, and then we'll close our time together. Philippians 2, this is probably one of the clearest passages of Paul in all of his letters that talks about the way that we should treat one another in terms of our attitude, our mindset, and deferring to the good of other people. He says in Philippians 2, "Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion." By the way, notice what he's saying there. All these things that he's saying in verse 1, he's saying if you have any of these things, but he's assuming that if they're believers in Christ, they have these things in their heart. That this characterizes who they are in Christ. He's doing the same thing he was doing in Romans. Here's the gospel, what Christ has done for us, now live it out. Well, he's doing the same thing in Philippians. If this is who you are in the gospel, if you've received union with Christ and you have His love, if you have these things, then here's how you live it out. Verse 2. "Then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit, and of one mind." Notice one mind. Similar kind of phrase. Be of the same mind. Verse 3, he says, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit." Same word as in Romans 12, don't be conceited. "But rather in humility, value others above yourselves." So Romans 12 says, don't think of yourself higher than other people. In Philippians 2, he says, put others even ahead of you in your thinking. "Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others." And then in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as that of Christ Jesus. So again, frame of mind, way of thinking, attitude, which is one of humility. And then he goes on in the next several verses and gives us one of the clearest pictures of who Christ is in all the scriptures. How he, being equal with God, humbled himself and became man, took upon him the form of a servant, and gave his life for us that we might be united to God. And then God exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name. So he gave Christ as the example. Christ humbled himself. If he is equal with God and he humbled himself like this, then surely we, as just common, ordinary people, need to humble ourselves as well and have the same mindset. So be of the same mind in terms of status with other people. One more passage I want to share with you is in James chapter 2. And this one specifically focuses in on status in society, rich and poor. And he says in James 2, "My brothers and sisters, believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, we must not show favoritism. Suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and a poor man in filthy old clothes also comes in. If you show special attention to the man wearing fine clothes and say, 'Here's a good seat for you,' but say to the poor man, 'You stand there,' or 'Sit on the floor by my feet,' have you not discriminated among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my dear brothers and sisters, has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom He promised those who love Him?" So here he's calling on the gospel as proof that we shouldn't discriminate against the poor, because God has taken pity on the poor and called the poor in spirit and the poor in the world to come and be receivers of grace. "But you have dishonored the poor. Is it not the rich who are exploiting you? Are they not the ones who are dragging you into court? And here he's probably referring to a specific thing that was going on in their circumstances, in which the wealthy and the powerful in their society were actually mistreating them. And so when they came into their meetings, maybe they were trying to, you know, kiss up to them or something, earn favor in their sight. And so they're giving them this, these nice seats and treating them really nicely. Whereas other people who are poor, perhaps even like them, they were poor, and they're mistreating them and showing them dishonor. Are they not the ones who are blaspheming the noble name of him to whom you belong? If you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, then you're doing right. Notice how James attaches giving proper honor to all people, he attaches it to love. Love your neighbor as yourself. But if you show favoritism, you sin and are convicted by the law as lawbreakers. For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking all of it. For he who said, "You shall not commit adultery," also said, "You shall not murder." If you do not commit adultery but do commit murder, you have become a lawbreaker. Speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom. Because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Mercy triumphs over judgment. What's he saying there? He's using the law as proof for his exhortation that they need to show proper honor to everyone. And if they don't, then they're breaking the law of love. And if they're breaking the law of love, he's saying, basically, you're breaking all the law. So it's a very serious thing that he's calling them to. And so that's a parallel passage idea of, in terms of living out this calling to have the same mind with other people in terms of their status and their position. So I just want to call us as way of exhortation to put ourselves in a position where we can be sharers with other people. Sharers of mind, sharers of thinking, sharing in their emotions in times of joy or in grief, but also sharing with them and identifying with them in their status and position in life, in their circumstances where they are, and not thinking of ourselves as more highly than we should, but thinking of ourselves, all of us as human beings made in the image of God, no matter who we are or how much we have or what we've been given. All of us are people made in the image of God, and all of us deserve an honor and a respect toward one. Even if we disagree, we can still honor and respect other people, even our disagreements. And so he's calling us to have the same mind. And so I pray that we'll do that. I think there are two ways, two arenas in which he's calling us to do that. One is the church, especially in the church, having the same mind. But also, I think, even at large, in the greater society, whoever we come into contact with, seek to be people of peace and of harmony and of humility in the people that we come into contact with. And so, may God give us grace as we seek to live that out. And the hardest place to live this out is in our close relationships, in our families, in the people we see every day, in classmates at school and our coworkers at work, the people that we interact with on a daily basis. Sometimes it's the hardest in those situations to remember these principles, to put ourselves and think along with them and share with them and be people of humility. And so may Christ enable us to do that and live out the gospel that he's worked in us.